Good morning. I trust everyone did well during Tropical Storm Nicole. We were certainly blessed. In our adult study at the moment, we are looking at a book and studying a book called Canoeing the Mountains, Christian Leadership in Uncharted Territories. And it is about adaptive leadership. It's about when you think you're going down the river and everything's going to be okay, then all of a sudden you come to a mountain and you don't know what to do. It's also about pivoting. So I want to thank Audra for pivoting this morning. She did a great job with adaptive leadership, and that's what happens quite often. We have to change course in the middle of something and we just kind of go with the flow. So thank you very much. Jesus told his disciples that even the most beautiful temple in the world would someday be destroyed. He was talking about the temple in Jerusalem, where a single block contained white and green marble and was 9 feet thick. It was an impressive structure whose eastern side was solidly gold-plated. Historians and archaeologists remember Herod as a builder, a great builder who loved to build enormous structures, but also he liked to make them very elaborate. He wanted people to remember what he was doing. And the temple was the jewel in Herod's architectural crown. Disciples grasped with amazement as they were told that someday this temple would be no more. And they're thinking, how can this be? This is a big, heavy structure. And this structure is huge. And Herod has put a lot into this. How can this be that this temple would be no more? He has a great army, a wonderful army to defend the temple if it's trying to be invaded. They simply could not grasp that it would be gone once again. But in 70 AD, just a few decades later, it was gone. The temple was no more. The gospel writers must have agreed with the temple's story, and the gospel writers must have saw the importance, because in Luke, it is in today's gospel. Mark tells a similar tale in chapter 13 of his gospel. And then Matthew mentions it in chapter 24. And John alludes to the temple destruction in chapter 2. This is how important Herod's temple was to the region. As Matthew and Mark tell the tale, the disciples must have been nervous. If this huge, miraculous, power-controlled temple can be destroyed, what's going to happen to us? They catch Jesus one day at a lunch break, sitting at the Mount of Olives. They stare across the valley at the temple. They're probably eating bread and olives, and Peter, Andrew, James, and John decide to ask Jesus the question. Tell us, when will this be? The temple being destroyed. We can't imagine it happening. And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished? Jesus' response is less than helpful. He tells them, when you hear of wars and rumor of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place. And certainly over the last month, 6 weeks, we have seen numerous structures in our own state and other parts of the country being destroyed as well. We understand that these are only things. They are only temporary things. And that's not what is important for us as Christians. Plenty has happened in our country in the last few years. Jesus says these events and occurrences are not reasons for us to worry. even though we may worry about them anyway. By God's standards, they are only temporary. These events are part of our lives, but they do not define us, and they are not our identity as Christians, and they do not deserve to have all of our energy. It is our souls. It is our souls and how the Spirit of God indwells with us that needs the attention, and that part lasts forever. I believe Jesus was saying to his followers, don't panic. Don't panic and hear the words of Jesus. Peace be with you. The peace of the Lord be with you. Like the disciples, there are times when we are anxious, and there are times when we will be concerned. And in fact, at times, we may lose our faith. These were anxious times in the early church and with the disciples. They had little hope because of all the persecutions going on around them, the people who were out to get them, and they were very anxious because they knew that they were highly vulnerable. They could have easily given up, said, Jesus, I'm not going to follow you anymore. It's just too hard and it's too difficult. I don't want to do that. That's not who I am. Or worse, they could have been misled by phony voices who would lead them away from their faith. Jesus didn't want them to be preoccupied with disasters. He wanted them to stay focused, remain faithful, constant in their mission, to serve God and to build up the kingdom of God here on earth, wherever they are. Jesus responded to his disciples by saying, by your endurance, you will survive. Not a hair on your head will perish. The gospel text is here to remind us that nothing is permanent. Even the most sacred structures of history will eventually collapse. Life circumstances change. Everything ceases to be in its original glory. What we do today, when we don't know what tomorrow will bring, we try to figure out what God is up to in the world, and we seek to walk humbly. Walk humbly with our Lord and to get on board. That's not a simple answer, but it's the posture that we can strive to adopt. What will matter is being persons of God, involved in the kingdom of God, and singing with the heavenly host, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Glory to God in the highest. Even in the midst of our worries and struggles, we are called to sing that praise. So how do we live today when we don't know tomorrow? How do we live today when we want to know the future? We want to be in control and we want to know what's going to happen. We draw strength from God who invites our participation and endures long after the city's buildings and stones have crumbled. We adopt a posture that asks not what God can do for us, but calls us to bring the kingdom of God just a bit closer here on earth. The vocation, the calling, the mission of the church, which is all of us, the vocation of you and me, is to stand tall in the middle of chaos and in the middle of confusion of the world, to maintain our identity as Christians. This is who we are. This is our calling, to maintain our identity as Christians, and this is what we're called to be. This is what we're about, over and over again. Our job is to keep telling the gospel story, Keep telling the gospel story of Jesus Christ, resurrected from the dead for our sins, who died on the cross that we may have new life and to be with our Lord. That is the living truth by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because in all of us, and when all of it is said and done, it's the only truth that matters. That our Lord and Savior loved us, has been resurrected so that we may have eternal life, to know and to feel His love. So my prayer for all of you, as you come before communion this morning, give all that you're about, all that you may be concerned about, lay it before the altar of God and say, "Here, Lord, here is my life. Here is what I'm concerned about. Help me, Lord, not to be worried, not to be panicked, but to always continue to feed my soul by your love and grace." Amen.